Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President, also. The privilege of being together with you at the same time. And to all of my fellow Farm Bureau members in the room, we are a family. You know that as we work together to improve this great state, to try and address the needs of this great nation, and make sure that the miracle called American agriculture, with production and processing, continues to move forward. So thank you. And I would also kind of like to note for a moment, Mike, all of our legislative friends in the room together. Long before I was ever a member of Congress, I was a member of the State House of Representatives. A part of that body that is, in even in the world we live in now, amazingly close to their citizens. I would not be a member of Congress had I not served in the state legislature, had I not begun in the back row, in the back corner, in that state house chamber, had I not had an opportunity to interact with other state representatives from across the entire state to discuss the issues that were important to us. It was just a wonderful experience. Now, if you indulge me for just a moment to discuss the challenges we face back east, I've got two presidents below me. Unless they physically move against me at the same time, I've got control of the microphone. But they're concerned about protecting your interests. Just touch for a moment of where we face back home, and then if I could mention to you why I take this with such an intensity personally. Now, we're in the second year of crafting the next five-year farm bill. And as a product of Roger Mills County, a product of Oklahoma State University, a product of the state legislature, a product of the wonderful great state of Oklahoma, when I first had the privilege of becoming ranking member a little over 4 years ago, and then becoming chairman for the first time 2 years ago, I couldn't help but note not only did I have the responsibility of writing a farm bill and working with my ranking member in the minority party, and working with all my colleagues in the Senate and getting something signed into law, but I had the very special challenge, and my friends in the state legislature will appreciate this as much as anyone in this room, but I had the challenge of writing the next farm bill, not only not with the same amount of resources we had last time, certainly not more, but the question was how many fewer dollars would we have to craft this most important document with? And in the process last year, in a very bipartisan way, as President Stallman noted, the House Ag Committee passed a bill that reduced farm bill spending by $35 billion compared to the previous farm bill. Now, that's not slowing the rate of growth. That's a real reduction. But yet, in the version we passed out of the committee, achieving a functional, a truly functioning safety net. Now, that's important, because if all the other committees in Congress would work in the same bipartisan way that the House Agriculture Committee works, would work with the same commitment of trying to address the national debt and the deficit, we wouldn't be in this mess. So, thank you for giving me the opportunity to be a part of that challenge and being a part of a group working so aggressively on the national level. Now, that said, there are some fundamental principles about the next farm bill that we tried to achieve in the last farm bill and in this markup process we'll achieve in this coming farm bill. And they're not that complicated. A farm bill is about making sure that we have a sufficient supply of food and fiber to meet the needs of consumers in this country and around the world, and doing it in a way that enables our fellow citizens in rural America to be able to do what they love, and that's farm and ranch. Now, it doesn't seem like too challenging a challenge, but it is. And in the House version of the bill we passed out of committee, a very fundamental principle is that everyone should be able to be a part of the farm bill. Whether you're a corn farmer or a cotton farmer or a wheat farmer or a peanut farmer, that safety net should be available for everyone, because we are a very diverse country, and I think we achieve that in our market. And we'll work to achieve that in the coming bill. So we'll save money, but yet we'll craft a document that will work for all regions and all commodity groups. That's critically important. Now, why do I take this so personally? For some of you who may not know me well, You have to understand, when you represent the 3rd District of Oklahoma, you literally have the northwest half of the state. Now, a lot of my friends kid me and say, well, obviously when they drew your lines, they picked out every place that didn't have a tree and they gave it to you. Well, there's some validity in that. I like a shade tree too. Maybe I'm a little envious. But the fact of the matter is, that means my core area, we don't get as much rainfall as much of the rest of the country and the world. In my core area, the soil conditions may not be quite the same as they are in the rest of the country and the rest of the world. So when you craft Farm Bill policy that will work for everyone, you have to address those challenging issues. Now, some of you may have watched Mr. Burns' documentary recently about the Dust Bowl. I was raised by parents who were the children of and young people during that period of the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl. My home county had 14,000 people in the 1930 census. We are now back to 3,500. 14,000 back to 3,500. I was raised by people who were young adults with children in the Great Depression, who were the most economically exposed. My parents were young people in the drought of the 1950s. I was raised on stories of what a 4-year drought can do. And then I came home from Oklahoma State University in December of 1982, just in time for the meltdown in both energy property prices and all agricultural land prices. Remember that, my friends? Remember how traumatic that was? It took us 15 years to overcome that in Roger Hills County. So by my upbringing, by my grandparents discussing in vivid detail the 1930s, the drought and the economic depression, my parents' vivid discussions of the night after night of the dry weather lightning storms when it would never rain between 53 and 57, and by my own experiences watching the sheriff sell one of my neighbors at a foreclosure auction in the 1980s, I have made it my mission as your representative in Congress for agriculture and your fellow Farm Bureau member to try to make sure, no matter what my colleagues may tell you, we really don't have any control over the weather. Although, I do wish some of my colleagues would tie it a little better on Sunday. I think it would help. But we do have control in Congress over policy. And the policies of the 1920s going into the 1930s made that experience horribly worse than it should have been. And the policies of the 70s going into the 80s made the 80s horrendous. My whole generation of what I call Vietnam veteran farmers, folks who came home from 65 to 73, who were the most leveraged, were wiped out in the mid-1980s. It is my goal to make sure that I'm not a part of a policy process that sets into motion a chain of events that creates that circumstance again. That's my commitment. And it's not unreasonable. Because if we make sure working together that rural America has a chance not just to survive, but to prosper, not only will we feed and clothe our fellow citizens and people around the world, but we'll create a very positive set of opportunities for our children and our grandchildren and generations yet to come. Now, I get a little worked up, I get a little fired up, but understand, I'm going to educate my colleagues, I'm going to convince my colleagues, we're going to do the work. As President Stallman noted, when we passed our farm bill last summer out of the House Agriculture Committee, I had a majority of Republicans and Democrats both vote for it. Do you know how infrequent that is in committee work anymore? A majority of both to pass our document. Circumstances dictate that we start all over again. That we'll get our work done. And I'll leave you this one last thought. Now, you understand in this room how important rural America is. You understand all of the issues that are critical to make sure we have the ability to do our work. that we love doing. But unfortunately, those of us directly connected to production ag now is a relatively small portion of the general population. The way I like to describe it in my town meetings is, we're no longer the tail on the dog. We're not even the hair on the tail on the dog. We're the flea on the end of the hair on the tail of the dog. What does that mean? That means we've got to spend a lot of time educating the folks who serve in the United States House and the United States Senate. You're in good shape in Oklahoma, but you never stop reinforcing and reminding. But that's why the Farm Bureau, both in Oklahoma and the American Farm Bureau, is so critically important. Helping educate the folks I serve with. When I came to Congress in 1994 in that special election, I was 434 out of 435 members. That's not tail end, but it's kind of like ag. It's down towards the end in attention span amongst the national media. The Penn now, after 18 and a half years, says 76. That's a tremendous turnover. It's not that the folks that I serve with intentionally want to do things that hurt us in rural America, that want to have a negative impact on production, agriculture, and processing. They just don't know. That's why your representatives pound up and down the hallways constantly in D.C. That's why I'm constantly explaining these issues to my committee members. That's why we have to be on a mission to try and educate folks. And if we work hard enough, we'll get another five-year farm bill. We'll make the case to our fellow citizens in this country why we should continue to be able to do what we love. Then we don't really have a choice except to make our case. We don't have a choice except to get that point across. Again, thank you for this wonderful award. A lot of times people say things about people and they don't have a clue what they're saying. But when you, my fellow farmers and ranchers, make this kind of a statement, I intensely appreciate it because you know what you're saying. And if you watch C-SPAN late at night, you know a lot of my colleagues don't have a clue what they're saying.